Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour, Childress. You starting to feel the wear and tear of a long day at ACC football kickoff?
I got some energy left. But right. Yeah, it's been a long day, but it's been a blast.
Well, I tell you what, we got about a minute into recording my buddy over here on the other side of the table when Larry Fedora walked up and gave us one of the best interviews that we've had in a while. But it's our good friend. It's Dave Gorin. And Dave is executive director of the National Sports Media Association, but more famously, part of the Wake Forest football broadcast crew that didn't do anything wrong.
Ever.
You're touching that with a 10-foot pole. So, Dave, as you're walking around here today, man, it's a different feel for this thing. I've been coming 10 years now. This is bigger. This is more big time than it's ever felt at ACC football kickoff.
I think it keeps getting bigger. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first radio row, there may have been five stations, and now
my first one, there was seven.
I need a map.
Yeah. Which they actually did provide this year as well.
Which is good because I was a geography minor in college, so that's one thing I can read.
There you go. Wow.
Okay. All right. Cartography.
Very
the art of
map
making.
Nice.
Actually, did you know, speaking of, since you were an ACC guru, that Adrian Branch, my good friend, do you know his father was a cartographer for the U.S. government?
Did not know that.
How about that? So,
in fact, there's not a whole lot I know about Adrian Branch.
Okay. So what have you learned today? Today's the Coastal Division, but there's one cloud hanging over the head of even the Coastal Division today, and it's an orange helmet with a white tiger paw. It's good for the ACC that Clemson's gained this status over the last 3 years because it looks like they're kind of pulling things along with them. The ACC's making a big jump in football.
Yeah, I mean, I think it started with Florida State, and now Clemson's kind of taken over that mantle. Virginia Tech had it for a year or two, and now I think Clemson is clearly the class of the league, and deservedly so. I mean, Dabo's done a great job not just building a winning team but building a sustained program or a program with sustained excellence.
Dave, what are your thoughts on Wake Forest this season? I think they're going to be a really good football team. You got some suspensions early in the year I think that they've got to deal with, but the schedule seems to meet nicely with those suspensions. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think the schedule plays out well. I mean, if you're a coach and you say, what kind of schedule am I going to get? I'm guessing for Wake and Dave Clawson, it's probably as good a schedule as you can see. Open on the road at Tulane, and then five straight home games. Wake does not leave the state of North Carolina in either September or November. They have two road games in November, one's at NC State and one's at Duke. So back-to-back flights in October to Louisville and Florida State. Now, they do have the murderer's row of Clemson, Florida State, Louisville all in a row, but a week off between Clemson and Florida State. So that'll be the tough part, and they have Notre Dame, I think, the week before Clemson, or maybe the week before that. But so that'll be the tough part, and then, you know, it's never easy in this conference, but I think the easier part of the schedule is toward the end.
How about in the Winston-Salem area? Fantastic location, but, you know, Wake fans completely bought in back in the day with Jim Grobe, and it manifested with that trip to the Orange Bowl and ACC title. They jumping back on board with Dave Clawson. Now, the reason I ask that, Dave's a different individual than Jim Grobe. Jim could come out and sell me a broken-down used car if it came down to it. Dave, very reserved in how he goes about his business.
Yeah, and he is all business. I mean, make no mistake, I understand from our good friend David Glenn and Raleigh that Dave Clawson's a big Stripes fan, which I didn't know.
Ooh.
So now he and I will have lots to talk about. Probably not when he's coming off the field at halftime. but
blown up, sir!
but he is, I mean, he is a brilliant guy and he's had a great plan everywhere he's been. He started Fordham 0-11 first year, winner by the third year. Two losing seasons at Richmond, won by the third year. They won the national championship the year he left with the team that he had built. Bowling Green turned them, after two losing seasons, into the MAC champion. And then Wake Forest, after a horrible first season where you might have had the worst offensive line in the history of the sport, turned them into a back-to-back bowl team the last 2 years with I think, a realistic opportunity to go to a good bowl this year as well. I mean, I see a possibility of eight, certainly, and with some good luck, maybe nine wins.
Nice. Hey, it's a Coastal Division Day today. What are your thoughts on the Coastal? Are you buying into Miami and Virginia Tech? Or, as I've been asking everyone, is it fruit basket turnover again? Who knows who's going to win it?
I think that's the beauty of the Coastal Division. You never really know. And I'm not yet buying Miami. I'm more of a Missouri guy. Show me.
Yep.
And Virginia Tech. Yeah, I think it's tough even for no matter what they've accomplished elsewhere for new guys to come in as coaches to programs and immediately have success. So, you know, year two, a little better maybe. Year three, even better. You know, we were talking earlier about coaches. You bring in a new coach and you expect him to be an immediate success. At certain programs, I understand that. A Clemson would be an example, Alabama, you know, the top-level programs. Everybody else, I don't know how you wouldn't give a coach minimum of 4 years and probably five to get a full redshirted class.
There's a reason they're called new coaches to begin with. That means something gone wrong or something was really, really good and they took your coach. So there's usually a reason for that. I tell you, the one on the Coastal that he got my attention early, and that's Coach Narduzzi at Pitt. 18 starters returning. He seems very, very comfortable. And, with you know, he couldn't talk about it. We couldn't ask him. They just came into Greenville, South Carolina, and got a commit from a high school quarterback that's 6'6", 210 pounds, and going to be a legit Division I starter. So things are changing for Pitt, and you just if you're going to talk stripes, let's go vacation, I guess. It was the look in the eye. You know, no, that's Fletch. That's Fletch.
Fletch. You look like 100 bucks.
Yeah. So, but Coach Narduzzi, I love him.
Yeah, and that's the thing now. There are no more bad coaches. Mm-hmm. Not they're ever bad coaches, but, I mean, these coaches all know what they're doing. They're all really, really smart. They surround themselves with good people. They know where the good players are. And so I don't know that you're going to see a Duke that didn't win a game for 8, 10 years. Again, I mean, even the worst teams in this league are competitive unless you have a team – such as a Duke, a Wake, a Boston College, a Syracuse, smaller school where they don't have the depth, and that's always been Wake's problem. 1 through 22, they're right. Okay, but once they start having injuries, they can't compete. And that's the only thing, if something were to go wrong with injuries or suspensions, that could kill them.
When you talk about Wake, is the ceiling second place in the division? You said 8 or 9 wins. Do you look at it in the terms of standings over on the Atlantic side and say, hey, Wake could be the number two team in the conference or at least in that division?
I think so. I mean, there's a possibility.
Yep.
You know, and maybe something goes horribly wrong in Clemson. I mean, I think they're a good enough team in most divisions to maybe finish first if all things go well.
Yes.
But you know, you obviously have to say that Clemson is the far and away favorite in the division. You know, Florida State, new coach. They always have talent, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game that Wake should have won last year at home. Now they have to play in Tallahassee. Different story typically for them on the road there. Louisville, they beat last year. And you could argue could have beaten at Louisville a couple years ago. And then we all know what happened last time we were in Louisville.
Yep.
But –
a rigged outcome.
But then I would not go that far.
All right.
You know, Boston College has, you know, more offensive line games returning than I think.
And they're big.
I think they're second in the country, always big. A.J. Dillon came on strong after Wake played there last year, which was good. Quarterback that now has some reps. So they will not be an easy touch. And they've been to a bowl game the last 2 years. So, you know, NC State with Ryan Finley back at quarterback. I think it's going to be a fun year.
It is.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
for
a good
me,
call.
I'm a sports fan, first and foremost. And so give me a good competitive game, and maybe I'll be upset if my team loses. But if I saw a good game, as long as I feel like I got my money's worth, I'm good.
Really? Because I come back when it comes to my Alabama Crimson Tide. Show me somebody that wants to lose, and I'll show you a lose. No, I'm just kidding. All right, real quickly,
right.
Executive Director of the National Sports Media Association. It's been a big couple of years as y'all have transitioned from one city in North Carolina into another. And I literally had Scott Kiefer of the Greenville News, who is one of our co-sports writers of the year for South Carolina, walk up to me earlier and goes, "Hey, dude, thanks for telling me. Make sure I went to that. I enjoyed it. It was a blast." And it's fun to see the new era of the National Sports Media Association.
Yeah, I think there's a new excitement. And, mm-hmm. you know, certainly the people in Winston-Salem have opened their arms. And, you know, I did TV sports there for 20 years and live right outside of Winston-Salem. So I've lived there now for almost 30 years, which seems hard to believe. But I think it was the right move, mm-hmm. and I think it was proved out 3 weeks ago that, you know, we had a wildly successful awards weekend. We had cut it to 2 days last year just because we didn't know if we were going to survive. We added the third day back, and then we also added a local community engagement dinner two nights before the awards weekend, which we'll never do again. We'll hopefully do
that.
Got
to be too much.
We'll hopefully do that in April next year, okay. because you couldn't use that to then – sell the awards weekend,
right.
because it was two nights later and all our numbers were in. So and that worked, that went really well. I mean, we named the award after a woman who named Ann Spencer, who owned Goody's Headache Powders. They were in NASCAR. She was a huge North Carolina fan, like this with Dean Smith. I'm crossing my fingers for those who aren't watching.
Yeah.
Same
tell
thing.
If you're yes. flipping off Childers or not.
Know what
there.
I've done there. What's up? What's up, Dave?
Same thing with Richard Petty because mm-hmm. of the NASCAR Association. And then we awarded the first one posthumously to a local OBGYN who had passed away last November, who everyone loved. Not only had he delivered half the babies in Winston-Salem, but everybody loved him. And so we had 300-plus people in the room, and it was fun to pay tribute to the two of them, and that was the idea of that dinner, is that connecting communities through sports.
Well, it is next level, and, of course, everything y'all do with the college students and everything else. Best of luck. I can't sit here and tell you if I'll see you October 6th at BB&T Field or not.
You will. You'll be there.
We'll see. But, Dave, thanks for everything, and best of luck, and appreciate everything you do for us.
Thanks. Stay healthy. Stay upright. We'll
gonna do
see
it.
You in October.
No. Next week, I'm not going to be upright. I'm going to be laying on a lounge chair.
Okay,
all right.
That's
is
okay.
that fair? Okay.
Fair.
All right. Thanks buddy.
For having
I appreciate
me.
It. There is Dave Gorin from the National Sports Media Association, but most importantly with ACC football kickoff, part of the Wake Forest broadcast crew. All right. When we come back, I'll tell you what. Sean Pittman, president of the Orange Bowl, when we come back. So, Mark, we were sitting here talking about the day and the weekend and all that, and our friends from ESPN Louisville, Mark Ennis and Drew Diener earlier, were like, "Hey, Sturge, we need to get you on about three." I completely forgot.
Oh, Sturge.
But we had that. That's when we were like cutting a bunch.
Yeah,
of
we had a bunch going on that hour.
But that's there's one that, you know, you look over and you go, "Oh crap, I knew there was something I forgot." So I guess it's no different than being a parent, huh?
You're not going to be perfect every time. We have not been perfect today, but we have put in a lot of effort, and we've
close.
Had a lot of fun.
Yep. We've been close, but I tell you, one of the best trips when it comes to Clemson fans is one that they're going to want to go on again this year. If you end up in the Orange Bowl, that means you're in the college football playoff. And, of course, Clemson has a long legacy, a long history with that game. Sean Pittman, the Orange Bowl president, I think he sat down with – he's the second person that sat down with us earlier today. And, of course, before we say this, I've had a very good friend. They shared some information, Larry Wall, who is most years here with the Orange Bowl, dealing with some health issues. So, everybody out there in our listening audience, keep a guy by the name of Larry Wall in your mind. But this is new Orange Bowl president, Sean Pittman. We're back here at ACC football kickoff. And you know what, Mark? I guess we got to celebrate Christmas before we can get to the Orange Bowl. But we're sitting down with Sean Pittman, president of the Orange Bowl. And, Sean, I was telling you a little bit, you got a lot to live up to when it comes to ESPN Upstate. Larry Wall has not only become – he's become a family member when it has come to ESPN Upstate.
Larry Wall.
Yes. So
what a guy.
Yes.
Listen, we love Larry, Orange Bowl. He's Orange Bowl. What do you call that when you
legend?
Legend.
Yeah. Hall of Fame.
Emeritus. He's decorated Orange Bowl. I mean, he's everything for us. So we appreciate him very much.
Congratulations, the new president of the Orange Bowl. And again, every year should be a big year when it comes to one of the oldest bowl games out there.
85 years.
Absolutely. But does it take a little step up and a notch on a year that y'all are part of the college football playoff?
Listen, the short answer is absolutely, right? But our goal is always to provide a game that our fans, that the fans of the teams can leave saying it was the best thing ever, that the locker room, the guys feel like it was an accomplishment for them, and that the coaches feel like it was an environment that they could get their team ready. We're always going to do that, but when it's a playoff year or a championship year, it rises up a little bit because you know Bill Hancock's going to be there. You know the commissioners of the teams, the conferences that are represented in the game, they're going to be there. And all the, you know, it just you're just talking about bringing all, and in this case, on December 29th, the world will be watching two of the four best teams in the country. So that brings with it a little bit of pressure from time to time.
You guys have had a couple of really close Orange Bowls, fantastic games in a row. How important is it for the game to be close? Is it enough to just have these storied programs that come to the bowl game year after year? Is that enough for the Orange Bowl, or is having that really tight, close game important as well?
Listen, if you're a football fan, you want to be on the edge to the very, very end. And last couple of games have been that way. And we've been very, very fortunate. I mean, our non-playoff games have been great matchups. I mean, Florida State, Michigan, mm-hmm. that game, these guys hadn't gotten together in decades, right? And Wisconsin, Miami, University of Miami, what a special thing for University of Miami to be in our game. They hadn't been on that track for a while, but it does make it special. We want the fans to be happy, and the fans are mostly happy. You know, we can keep them happy the longest when the game's closed.
That's right. They'll stay and they'll keep spending money. Hey. But as we continue with Sean Pittman, the president of the Orange Bowl, you know, we're in the upstate of South Carolina. It's a very special relationship that Clemson has had with the Orange Bowl. I was there in 81 in the old Orange Bowl. I'm not sure I've had more fun than the Clemson-Ohio State game about Taj Boyd's final year.
That's right. Great
but
time.
If Clemson is fortunate enough to make it back to Miami this year and all, we saw the beginnings of it a couple of years against Oklahoma, but it will be a new stadium experience for fans this year.
Absolutely. So, look, your experience starts with how conveniently we make it for you to get mm-hmm. to the game. So parking's important. Flow of traffic's important. But the other thing that becomes real important is that stadium. And they've done an amazing job. And I got to tell you, it might be the best stadium in the country. Mm-hmm. It might be. There's no bad seat in the house. Obviously, they eliminated 15,000 seats or so for the convenience and to make sure that there's no bad seat in the house. If you just want to entertain and talk, you could do that too, because there's comfortable places within the stadium for you to gravitate with your friends. If you're not interested in the game anymore, there's food. The vendors are great. The 72 Club is absolutely fabulous. The Dolphin team did an amazing job. Hard Rock Stadium is the best stadium in the country.
Yeah, so do you have any matchups in mind? Or are you thinking about anyone? If you could handpick, am I allowed to do that to you here on what's going on? I mean, you should have some great teams this year regardless. I'm just curious where you're leaning.
So Orange Bowl, we have to be neutral. I say that out we practice that. So,
yeah.
Dabo Sweeney's already told me that they're going to be there.
Good.
And
that's a man of his word.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
He is stacked, right? It's not a rebuild for him. It hasn't been in years. He's reloaded, right? I mean, so I take him for his word that if they are there, that they'll come to Miami. The matchup, though, is hard to say.
Right.
It really is hard to say. I talked to Coach Saban at the at the SEC meetings, and you know, when I mentioned that we hope he choose Miami to if they make it back to the playoffs. You know, he had that face that he always has that doesn't tell you anything, right?
So he sidestepped that question.
But well, let me tell you what I did, though. His wife was standing with him.
Now, that's who's got all the credibility.
And I was telling her, you remember this and you remember that. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's great. You know, Miami would be really, really great. So,
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Yeah. I'm not sure, but I can tell you this. Exciting to have two of the top four teams in the country in Miami. I don't care who it is. I want a great game. We're going to do the same job no matter who comes. And, you know, we have to be neutral. But there's a lot of people that are fighting. You know, Willie Taggart's new at Florida State. And there are a lot of folks out there saying, yeah, you know, the Harbaugh thing, right? You know, it's going to take him a while. It's going to take him a long while. Well, Harbaugh hadn't got there yet. I'm rooting for Willie. And I've seen how those guys respond to him. He seems to be a good fit. Seems like Stan Wilcox did a good job in selecting him. So we'll see. And when FSU and Miami are doing well, it makes the ACC much stronger.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we hope to be there on December 29th covering things. Because the media party's next level, and there's not much better place. Even though the game's on the 29th, there's still not much better place than South Florida on
New Year's Eve. Well, we have a great hotel for media, man. And, you know, great hospitality room. You guys, come on.
All right. Well, thanks, Sean. Right. We appreciate you catching up
thanks
with us.
Thanks for having
us. And there's Sean Pittman, the new president of the Orange Bowl. And listen, you can tell that's a guy, Mark Childress, that is enjoying his trip up here to AC. What was the old saying? Dude, we're literally going to have to wipe the grin off your face. You know what I mean? So
he's having the only guy I've met having more fun than me today was him.
Really?
He's been having a great time. Yeah, he was having a blast.
So you've heard about this kind of stuff. You know, these media days don't serve the same purpose as they did a decade ago. They advented the internet and everything else changed this. You remember back in the day they used to do a bus tour from campus to campus to campus. It took 2 weeks. And you know, it's the biggest drunk fest that we've ever been on. You know what I mean? But now it's down to 2 days here. There's no golf. There's no this. There's no that. Here in a little bit we will go in for dinner and we will be given the biggest state of the ACC video that you've ever seen before. So these things are about making yourself feel good before you get back there and open up camp.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. I've been really impressed by how everything has been put together today. Juggling all these media requests, I cannot imagine how tough of a job that is.
And shame on some of the people here in the media. Understand that it's not all about us. Poor Amy, it's a no-win situation as this thing grows bigger and bigger and bigger. You can't make anybody. You can't make anybody happy all the time. You can't make. I actually sent her a thank you note saying, listen, this is the most thankless task out there, and I just want you to know I appreciate what you do. Because I saw a tweet of hers 2 days ago going, yep, it's that time of the year when 30 radio stations are all bitching at me at the same time. So, again, you know, get up here. This is why I challenge people. I tell you, get up here and meet people where they know you eye to eye. And chances are, if you want them, they'll make time for you.
Yeah, that's been my favorite part of today is being able to meet in person a lot of the folks that I've had the pleasure of having on when you were out or you and I talking to together and just making some nice connections with them has been great. And again, how many players and coaches are they churning through here today? What, 7 coaches and 14 players and 35 stations? You do the math. Everybody isn't going to get everybody
and this
they
is
want.
Just radio. We're not talking about the print media, television, and everything else involved. All right, so when we come back, maybe the only person that's got it any better right now than Sean Pittman, the new president of the Orange Bowl, would be Gary Stokin with the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And, yeah, they're part of the college football playoff, just not this year. We'll bring you an interview we did earlier today with Gary Stokin as we're live on Radio Row at ACC Football Kickoff. All right, so welcome back in. We are live here in the Westin in downtown Charlotte. Mark Childress, give him a follow on Twitter at Childress Mark, me at Sturgis Sports, and at ESPN Upstate. But Mark, probably the only person with a bigger smile on their face than the Clemson contingent that's already here a day early is Gary Stokin with the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
And he should be. The Kickoff Classic, Auburn and Washington this year. They just got re-upped, I think, for, I believe he said, 6 more years as being a part of the college football playoff machine and the New Year's Day Bowl. So good for him.
Well, we got a great chance to catch up with them like we do every year. And here's some time we spent with the president and head of the Chick-fil-A Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic game. It's Gary Stokin. Welcome back in live at ACC Football Kickoff. And Mark Childress, this is your first event.
It is.
However, it would not be ACC Football Media Days without getting together with Gary Stokin from the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic, the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Gary, here we are again, ready for another football season.
I know it's football season when I'm sitting with you guys. Isn't it a great time of year? Mark got a Chick-fil-A sandwich out of it.
I know.
And I'm the big winner today already.
Great fringe benefits.
He may be eating that on the way back to the beach. He is the MVP. He drove up from vacation today. But,
is that right?
That is right. I wouldn't miss this. I was down at Pauly's Island.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
About 4-hour drive this morning to make it up here. I'm going back tonight.
Yep.
Good for you.
Whatever it takes.
That's dedication, Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic. This year we start off, it's Washington and Auburn, and it's a Huskies program that's made this cross-country trip a few years ago in the college football playoff, and that's a great game. But listen, 2020, I want to ask you about that. Three games in 3 days, basically, is the way it looks right now. And what inspired that three-game
weekend?
He looks
at me like I'm nuts. What the heck were you thinking?
It's hard enough to do one. Yeah. I can't imagine two, much
less
three.
Well, it won't be 3 in 3 days, but it'll be 3 in 7 days.
All right.
Which has never been done.
Right.
We'll play Florida State, West Virginia. We'll play on September 5th, Saturday. September 7th, Monday. Labor Day will be Georgia, Virginia. And then the next Saturday, the 12th, we'll play Auburn, North Carolina. So 3 games in 7 days. You know, we love what we do just like what you guys do, and we love putting on games. We have a great stadium to do it and a great city to host people. And, so it's why not, right? My business acumen is if you stagnate, you die. And I think it's one of the reasons why we continue to improve year to year and why we're in the new year six now is we've always looked to improve on what we've done. And we believe we're the capital of college football, and that's what the capital of college football should do, put on great games.
Absolutely. You've always had a fantastic event. Now you have, in my opinion, the premier stadium in the country to play college football in. What kind of difference has that made for your events at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, we loved the Georgia Dome. We thought it was the best stadium in the world. And then you come up with Mercedes-Benz, which technology-wise, with the Halo board, 360, the biggest board in the world. Arthur Blank's vision to really make it fan-friendly, so Cokes, you're paying $2 and getting a free refill. You know, you're paying $3 for hamburgers and hot dogs. You're able to get down onto the field and out onto the patio right behind the teams. You know, it's such a great fan experience. Coaches want to play in there. Players want to play in it. So we've had a lot of people have an interest, particularly now that we've had a semifinal game, a championship game in there. So it's a little easier to recruit, you know, having the best stadium in the world. And hopefully we can get the championship game back, you know, in the not-too-distant future. We've just been extended by the CFP last Friday for another 6 years. So we'll host the semi in 22 and in 25. So that's a good thing. So, yeah, things are bright for college football in Atlanta.
So we continue with Gary Stokin from the Chick-fil-A Bowl. In the Kickoff Classic, have you ever really stopped? I love what you just said there about status quo is more or less not acceptable. But have you ever taken a moment and thought about, you know, Nick Saban and Tommy Bowden kind of kicking off this era, if you will? And then maybe the nicest compliment is how many people have jumped on board with those neutral site games. You know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
No, you're exactly right. We've been followed by Dallas, Houston, Orlando, Charlotte, and Green Bay's done one. And I'm sure other cities are looking at it. But, you know, to your point, I'll tell you two great stories. One is when we hosted Alabama-Clemson in 2008, the first kickoff game, Alabama had lost to Louisiana Monroe the year before, Nick Saban's first year. They were 7-6. I called Nick. He said he'd come over and play because he wanted to recruit in Georgia. They win the game 34-10, and on the cover of Sports Illustrated that week was Alabama's back. Because you remember, they had been – Alabama wasn't – they were like – Texas has been most recently, or Tennessee. They have been a factor. If Nick were sitting here today, he would tell you that that game put them in the position to make the great run they've made right now. The other story I'll tell you is related to our bowl game. Clemson plays LSU, beats them on a last-second kick, as you guys remember. That got Clemson past the Clemsoning, and then they came back and played in our kickoff game the very next year and beat Auburn. They beat two SEC powerhouse teams, and if Dabo were sitting there, he would tell you that started the Clemson run that they've been on ever since.
And we just had Chandler Catanzaro on the show a couple of weeks ago.
The
and, of course, yeah, that's the one that made the kick. So, you know, again, as we continue with Gary Stokin, you and Matt Garvey, y'all's entire staff down there, absolutely fantastic. Three games in 2020. But, you know, one of the things I figured out in this career of mine, college football cyclical. How do you maintain this neutral site to open up the year? Because now you're starting to see some schools schedule home and homes, but yeah. I think this is an avenue we need to keep.
Yeah, I'm a traditionalist,
right.
And I believe college football was made for home and homes. So I'm a great believer in that. But there are opportunities, particularly in the ACC and the SEC, when you're an AD and you only have 8 conference games, you have 4 non-conference games to schedule. If an AD can take 3 of those games and schedule them at home, he's got his home package budget made with 7 home games. He's got 1 game left. If you can schedule that home and home, you make money the year you're at home. When you go away, you don't make any money. You schedule neutral, you're making money that year when you go first year neutral and the second year. For a businessman, for an AD, that's awfully important. Now if you can do it where you get the benefit of a recruiting base like Georgia, which is per capita the number 1 recruiting base in the country and number 4 overall, how many players does Clemson have from Georgia? A lot of good players. Secondly, if you can get the payout that you can get, similar to, in a lot of cases, more than bowl games you play in at the end of the season and more than you make in a home game. Thirdly, if your fans can get the number of tickets, 30, 35,000 tickets, where they can come and they can see the game, and if they don't want to come to the game, they can watch at home a great game versus watching a nondescript opener that you're going to win 50-0. The fans don't want to see that, and they won't watch it on TV, right? So, and then from a player standpoint, players want to compete. They want to play against the best competition they can. And from a coaching standpoint, not only is it a recruiting opportunity, but coaches will tell you the most improvement they make as a team is from week 1 to week 2. Why? And after week 1's game, you have film. You have live film that you can sit down a player and the team collectively and say, here's what we need to do to improve. You can coach them up. If you play that game against a nondescript team, you don't have a good live film because that guy's going to dominate, right? If you play against a ranked opponent, he's got a tough matchup. You can teach him about, okay, this is what you did well, here's what you can improve on, and the team can look at it that way. So for all those reasons and probably a few more, the neutral game and our kickoff game make a lot of sense.
Well, listen, thank you again. It is a fit. When we get the Chick-fil-A card and we get Gary Stokin, it's officially college football season.
Amen. Amen.
So my best to Matt. I'm sorry he couldn't
I'll
get up there.
I'll tell him you said
double
some
duty,
nice things
but,
about him.
But thanks for everything you do. We
thanks for having
appreciate
us.
It.
Appreciate you guys.
And, of course, really enjoy getting to know him. You know, we were talking there about that Clemson-LSU game, you know, and he and I were literally standing right next to each other on the sidelines. And my last thing I remember was dropping my big camera pole right where we were and running down the field with my small camera as they ran. Because if you remember, Catanzaro went all the way to the other end zone after making
yep.
it, and I'm chasing them. Then I realized, oh, crap, I just dropped $2,000 worth of camera gear on a pole back on the other side. Fortunately, it was still there when I got back. So,
Thank goodness. All right,
when we come back, Childress is headed back on vacation, and we're going to kind of let him give some thoughts about the final, his final thoughts about ACC football kickoff as we're live in Charlotte. Don't forget, tomorrow we're live at Carolina Golf and Tennis at Botany Woods for a British Open party. Listen, we may be live at Carolina Golf and Tennis for a British Open party tomorrow, but Smoke on the Water, their doors are open for you right now. My sponsor, listen, the best buck when it comes to your dining dollar here in the upstate of South Carolina. As a matter of fact, voted the best downtown restaurant in the recent Best of the Upstate Awards. Just stop and think about that for a minute. You know, coming off that custom-built smokers, the pulled pork, the beef brisket, the beer butt chicken, baby back ribs, and my personal favorite, the smoked prime rib. But every steak is trimmed right there in-house at Smoke on the Water. The seafood comes up fresh from the Atlantic coast. As a matter of fact, when the doors open for lunch 7 days a week at 11:30, there's a daily lunch special, including really any Sunday feels like turkey and Christmas all rolled up into one with turkey and dressing and all the side dishes with it. That's 1 Augusta Street for Smoke on the Water. If you want to see the menu before venturing out downtown, it's saucytavern.com. But if you need a catering job done and you don't call the restaurant at 232-9091, then quite frankly, you haven't done your homework. That's Smoke on the Water, the corner of Augusta and Main in Greenville's historic West End, a saucy Southern tavern. So, Mark Childress, we're closing up. You're getting ready to head back to Myrtle Beach. And our producer, first of all, thumbs up. We've thrown a lot of stuff at Gray back there.
Yes, you know,
Diesel's
have.
On vacation this week, and he has handled it like a champ. But we started talking some Tennessee there during the segment. I think I heard him first swallow his mouth real hard, second throw up in it real quick.
Struggling if you're a Tennessee fan yeah. right now. Aaron Murray had some controversial statements about Derek Dooley today. Not Derek. Now I just did it. I just said Derek Dooley as well. About Jeremy Pruitt today that didn't go over real well with Vols fans. So it'll be interesting to watch.
I'll say this much. It's one thing that you haven't had here in the ACC. You stop and think about some of the hires that have been made. As I was telling Gray right there, and I mean it with all due respect, I don't think Knoxville is a place that you learn how to be a head coach, much like when Florida screwed up back in the day, number one with Muschamp, but even more than that, Ron Zook.
Yes.
So just think there's certain programs you go get a coach that has experience, but unfortunately, Derek Dooley screwed over the entire east side of Tennessee. It wasn't Lane Kiffin. Now people are like, damn, I wish I could get Kiffin back, you know. But so anyway, all right, real quickly, as you head back, and of course, I want to thank you. You'll be covering for me next week while
yes,
I'm
sir.
On vacation, and I really, really appreciate that because this is a much-needed vacation. Your thoughts from your first ACC football kickoff?
Had a lot of fun today. Changed my mind on Larry Fedora was one thing that mm-hmm. jumped out at me today. I told you I was not a fan of his being a fan of the Clemson Tigers and some of the shenanigans that went on at the ACC championship game a couple of years ago. Pat Narduzzi, I would go play for that guy
yep.
tomorrow. I lobbed a couple of, I felt like, more difficult questions at him about, hey, how do you recruit? What about mm-hmm. your stadium? Things like that. You were pushing back on him a little bit as well. Man, his answers just weren't good.
Yep.
They were freaking fantastic.
This guy gets it.
He does.
Hey, whatever it is. He has that it factor, you know, and that's what somebody told me back in the day about Dabo Swinney. Said, you know, his knowledge of being a head coach, I don't know, but he's just that one guy in the room that has that it factor. And I go back and I think about us talking with Gary Stokin earlier today about that first Chick-fil-A kickoff classic, and I remember looking in the back of the end zone down there on the field during warm-ups, there was Dabo Swinney talking with Kirk Herbstreit. And then here, 6 games later, it's Dabo Swinney, interim head coach at Clemson University.
Wow.
So,
and I was at both of those games, which I think you were, that Gary Stokin talked about mm-hmm. kind of getting the Alabama machine started with the Alabama-Clemson and the kickoff classic, and then the Clemson-LSU Peach Bowl or Chick-fil-A Bowl to end the season, and how that kind of started got rid of Clemsoning and changed mm-hmm. the tide for the Tigers. I thought those were two really neat anecdotes that I completely agreed with, and it shows you how much in the fabric of football in the South, not just the Chick-fil-A Bowl and Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classics are, but Chick-fil-A itself is absolutely everywhere. You talk about one of the smartest promotions that they got in on 12, 15 years ago
yeah.
is to get behind college football.
Well, that and, of course, getting the game moved to the Georgia Dome on New Year's Eve. I mean, that was the way you rocked it in. The Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was not even 50-50 if you were going to get good weather for the Peach Bowl
oh,
there.
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah, what changed it was that ACC-SEC tie as well. So, again, good job by him. And then, you know, some of the kids, we hadn't even talked about the kids we interviewed earlier that we'll get to those interviews. But as you were talking about the lunch pail being sat right in front of us, let me tell you, Ricky Walker, class, like you said, you're going to watch a couple of games this year. You'll be paying attention to certain numbers, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Ricky Walker's number 8.
That's right. That's correct.
6'1", 300 pounds, he's number 8. Huh. Didn't we see that with the number 7 at Clemson here in the last few years?
Yeah, we might have seen something like that. And he was so polite, very reserved, no ego or anything like that. And then you see his highlights that I watched after he walked away from us. A dadgum monster on the field and very difficult to deal with. But, yeah, that was one of the highlights of my day. He literally walks up with the VT lunch pail. How many times have you heard about this on ACC and college football broadcast over the last 20 years? Bang, puts it right down in front of us. I was completely geeking out being able to see that and having it right there. So I thought that was really neat.
All right. So, again, it's been a lot of fun here. Tomorrow we will see the announcements come down. I mean, in the Atlantic Division, is there any other chance that it's somebody other than Clemson? Because I've already voted. I did that last night. Now, you were going to ask me about some of the players, and I felt embarrassed. You know, I knew who I knew, and other ones I had to take an educated guess. I'm sorry, I can't talk about who are the top 7 5 offensive linemen in the ACC.
Oh, come on, Sturge, you got to do more preparation. You know, I'm kidding you. Who did
at that point? I'd like to remain. I made it to 21 years. I'd like to see 22. All right.
Yeah, exactly. I think you said you voted for Clemson and Miami. I'm not 100% bought in on Miami yet. It's going to be interesting to see if they start the season and lose that first game to LSU, and they lost all the games at the end of last year. Does that get them, you know, in the wrong mindset and really start getting them behind the eight ball? Mm-hmm. A lot of this, I mean, obviously, what did they win their first 10 games last year? They came out hot. They won a lot of close games. Can they duplicate that this year? I don't know. Virginia Tech, I think, is really strong. We heard a couple. I don't want to give away some interviews we'll be playing later in the week, but we had a couple of people whose opinions I respect a lot say, watch out for the Pitt Panthers.
Now, that is where I've changed in the last 24 hours.
Me too.
Number one, sorry, I did not go through all the numbers when it came to Pitt that they had 18 starters returning.
They do, and they don't have Clemson, and they don't have Florida State.
That was
State.
The other thing I found out today. That makes me think Pitt may be a quiet favorite in Sturge's book heading in. That's going to be a fun race to watch all year long.
It really is, and I asked every single guest that we had about the Coastal Division because it's the Coastal Division day today, and nobody really wanted to jump on. Most were, I think Miami and Virginia Tech, but it's going to be crazy. Somebody's going to jump up. I think Pitt is a team that could do that. I also think Georgia Tech is a team we did not hear a lot about today. Paul Johnson kind of every other year. Yeah, every other year he kind of jumps up and surprises some people. They had an off year last year. They had some injuries. Is this the year where they win a couple of close games? They had Miami beat last year. They lost a number of close games very late in the game. Could this be the year that they rebound, find a way to go 9-3 and win that division at, 5-3 or 6-2 or something like that? It just seems like somebody called it coastal chaos. I think that was Friedlander.
Yep.
To me, I think that's what it's going to look like this year, where the Atlantic Division seems a little bit easier to predict, at least at the top. But when you look at all those other teams in there, man, I could make a case for a lot of them.
And that scares the crap out of me that it looks that cut and dried in the Atlantic. But I'm sorry, until somebody can go toe-to-toe with the Clemson offenses and defensive line, there's no other way to pick anybody in the Atlantic Division.
And with Clemson being ranked as high, they're probably going to be preseason number 2. If they get past Texas A&M, even if they lost to Florida State and went 11-1, we just saw that Alabama could go to the playoffs in that scenario. Could Clemson lose that game to Florida State, not even go to the ACC championship game, and still go to the college football playoff? I think the answer to that is an absolute yes.
And then some people owe me apologies.
Yes, all the people that piled on you last year when Alabama State did it 2 years ago.
Just wait. Sooner or later, things are going to fall in place in a way that you don't imagine, and you're going to have to be apologizing for all the crap. Because, just wait long enough, things can change, no doubt. Well, listen, Carrie Beth, take good care of this guy. I know she's listening right here. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. Listen, thank you for everything. I'm out Saturday. We're flying out to Miami and getting aboard that ship with our friends from Canada.
Awesome.
And you guys aren't going to hear from me till April 30th. I'm back in one day. And then back out.
You mean July 30th, I host, or that means you're going to be gone for 10 months, which I hadn't planned for.
But I'm literally back one day before I got to go have a secondary surgery. Then after that, we're good. Yep. All right? I make you a promise. We're all good. But, Mark, you've done a great job here today. You got some cool things coming ahead for football season as well. And, you know, again, I hope you understand why. Now, we ain't giving away money there because we're done for the day, Gray, when it comes to our free cash stash contest.
We're making money.
We're making money, but this is fun. This is one of my favorite things every year,
yes.
ACC football.
I'm right there with you, man. Thanks for the invite today. I really appreciate it.
All right, Gray, you did a fantastic job. We threw a bunch of different things at you today, and you handled it like a champ. Tomorrow, we'll be at Carolina Golf and Tennis at Botany Woods for the British Open party. Come by and see us on Edwards Road. Have a blessed evening.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.